Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Black mass, man, it's time to rock. I had to find a way, I couldn't find a job. Couldn't find a prayer, couldn't find a God. Couldn't find a prayer, couldn't find a God. Black mass, man, it's time to rock. I had to find a way, I couldn't find a job. Couldn't find a prayer, couldn't find a God. Couldn't find a prayer, couldn't find a God.
I woke up, then I logged in to that Urban X where they be flexing with that blog in. Put it down, cause my little homie called in. Had to bail him out, he in trouble with the law again. Black skin can't win in the white world. Seen a brother kill his own kid for that white girl. We ain't wanna go to school, but we had to. Every February, it was scary in them classrooms. Shimmy y'all, shimmy yay. Old dirty bastards can't own dirty slaves, so they own dirty masters. Black Dot found a pot as a youngin', broke it down for his son, and now he serve it to the masses.
Black mass, man, it's time to rock. I had to find a way, I couldn't find a job. Couldn't find a prayer, couldn't find a God. Couldn't find a prayer, couldn't find a God. Black mass, man, it's time to rock. I had to find a way, I couldn't find a job. Couldn't find a prayer, couldn't find a God. Couldn't find a prayer, couldn't find a God.
Urban excellence, a product of my residence. From 4 score to 44, Obama was the president. I told mama I ain't tryna go to church. I'm like Adam, every Adam is a product of the dirt. And I've been reaping what he sowed. I got the product, got the dirt. And I can teach you what I know, but then you got him put in work. You in trouble if you waiting on the government. I told my bro I make it out the hood and that's a covenant.
Peace, peace. Welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of the Urban X podcast. Thank you guys for joining us. We're your hostess with the mostest. I'm Malcolm. This is the artist, formerly known as the Black Dot. What's good,
everybody? Hi, Malcolm. I didn't like that intro. You sounded like it's Monday. You don't want to be here. You sound like you hung over from your birthday celebration. You did like this. Yo, peace, peace. Welcome to another episode
of the podcast. What's good, everybody? Episode.
Yes.
What's up? We're here. You're there. He's there. Y'all are in the chat. What's good, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Urban X podcast. Number one, mother. I'm about to just knock stuff off the table. We're here. Thank you guys for being here. We appreciate you. What's good? Dad, how was your weekend?
Weekend was weekending, you know, whatever that means. You know, just taking it easy, relaxing, you know, doing what we do. And, yes. You know, I thought we had a great show on Thursday. We had a great week last week. I want to thank everyone who came out for the sale.
Yeah.
You know, helped us, you know, get rid of some of the, you know, the merchandise that we had laying around, the overstock, as we say. And so that might have been the first week we've done 4 shows in a week, Malcolm. That might be some history.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I was exhausted.
Yeah.
Like, legit exhausted. It's going to be a
trivia question in a couple of years.
I like it. Okay. I like that.
You know,
I like
so
that.
I thought that was good. We ran the sale all the way to Sunday.
Yeah,
and the people, as usual, came out and showed support. I'm so happy. This month of September is flying by.
Yes, it is. But listen, we can't skip the monumental meteor that was yesterday. Why was that important yesterday? Because yesterday was my 31st. You know what I mean? Clap it up.
Yeah. So the real question is, how was your weekend?
So my weekend was very smooth. My birthday was very, very smooth and relaxing. We went out for brunch. I came back. Then we went to the mall for a little bit. Shopped. Came back. I watched some football undisturbed. That was the key part.
That's dope.
That was the key part. Undisturbed. Then I took a little nap, fell asleep, drooled all over myself because, again, undisturbed, right? And then we went to some restaurant in Philly that was pretty good for dinner. Came back, watched some more football, undisturbed. That was a great birthday for me, guys. So thank you for that. Thank you for the love on Instagram. To the UX90 members at the meetup, I watched the rest of the meetup because I had to leave. Thank you, guys. I appreciate all the support. Thank you. Jerome, happy birthday to you, too. Yesterday was his birthday.
To Jerome.
Somebody else's birthday is on the 19th. Yeah. So nice. Thank you, guys.
And we spoke earlier about how the 30th is different from the 31st.
Yes.
Elaborate.
So my 30th, right? I was in Jamaica living it up with my lady, had a lot of fun. However, there was still some like underlying, and this is me, not anybody else, but I was still having like the midlife crisis, like the made up midlife crisis. Like, damn, I was supposed to have this by 30, this was supposed to be happening by 30. And now at 31, I look at myself because I do this ritual every year. I write myself a future letter every year on my birthday for the next year, right? So I got mine yesterday morning when I woke up from the previous year, and things that I was stressing about, things I was just worried about, things I wasn't happy with, ceased to exist. Like, you realize, like, they don't matter. You realize those things are not important. What is important is your health, your family, making sure they're good, making sure you are fulfilled. And like I said, here's the thing. It took me like 4 days up until my birthday for me to kind of understand that. Like, so I want to like paint that picture for people. So all this year, I was still kind of running this invisible race against these invisible haters and these invisible obstacles up until like 4 days. And it really hit me. And I was sitting down, came to a couple of different realizations, and I feel lighter. I'm not going to lie. Y'all might think I'm bugging. I feel some grays turning back to black. You know what I'm saying? Because I just, you know, I feel light, man. I feel light. So I'm happy, and that's it.
No, that's... I'm smiling because when you come into the wisdom year, see, in supreme mathematics, knowledge is one, wisdom and understanding, you're coming into the best part now, you know what I'm saying, of what life is. And we call life is lifing. And so you have this predetermined that society lays out that you should be. And then life goes, wait a minute. But let's deal with all of this before those things happen. And so coming out of your wisdom years of the 20s, into your 30s, into the realization of what's important and what's not. Now, you spoke about writing yourself an email. What software is that, or what program is that? Because people might want to write themselves a letter a year from now.
It's called futureme.org.
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 And you can write yourself a letter from where you are right now and your mindset, what's going on, how you feeling.
6 months to a year, 3 years in advance. Like, you know, it's you can do it. So I do it a year to kind of, I don't want to set myself too far in advance. But I've read like my past letters, like in 2016 and stuff like that. Things I cared about. I was just like, yo, I want to get UrbanX to 10,000 subscribers. Like, that's all, like, you know what I mean? Like, that was...
Right,
win.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That was a win. Like, I want to get, you know, things like that. And then, I didn't write a letter in 2019 or 2018, I think. It was 1 year I skipped. And then I came back, like, Noble was born. Like, it was a bunch of stuff that my future self would have been like, what the hell? But it was really cool. It was really cool.
Are all your letters there in one spot?
Yep.
Wow. Okay, yep. futureme.org for anybody who's interested in starting a journal to self. Because yeah. a year flies by. I think it was Ken Taylor who said the days go by slow, but the years go by fast. Yeah. And so you'd be like, wow. And so now you're having another child.
Yes, that's happening.
And then you're going to start being like, you know what? It's nothing more important, like you said, than health, family, and the pursuit of the things that make you happy.
Yeah, fulfillment. Like when you're doing something that's not in alignment with you, everything around you tells you that.
Yes.
But you choose to ignore it.
You choose to run those red lights anyway. Yeah.
Everything around you just kind of tells you. And then, you know, I like to think, and this might be egotistical to say that, but I like to think that like my ego isn't, you know, rampant. I don't think I'm an arrogant person, but even ignoring a lot of just really sage advice is egotistical.
Yes.
Right? Even just a lot of things that you'll just come to realize like, damn, I wasn't in control of that. That was like my ego mm-hmm. controlling that situation. So or that response or that frame of thinking and stuff like that. So another good book that I always pick up, Ego is the Enemy. Really good book.
Ego is the Enemy. Yes. Right. Very good book. So, Malcolm, let's get this thing started.
Let's get it started, man. Because I don't want, you know, the timestamp warriors to get mad at us. Like, oh, dude, it starts at this time. It's taking you out too long. Thank you. Thank you.
You right. are tuned into the sounds of Urban X.
All right, so sad news starting out. Condolences to Tito Jackson, who passed away yesterday. Passed away yesterday. And it's a lot of people don't realize, like, Tito Jackson was kind of the one that kind of birthed the idea into his pops to even start the Jackson 5. So he gets a lot of credit into everything that we've seen since that. So rest in peace. Condolences to the family. He was only 70 years old, and I'm hearing it was a heart attack.
Yeah, I'm hearing he was behind the wheel of a car when this happened as well. This is what I'm hearing. I don't know how true the details are. And 70 years old. But you remember, Malcolm, age is a number, and that works both ways. So his 70 could be equivalent to 90 years old, how long he's been in the industry, the amount of stress that was on him and his family. And so, you know, the age is relative only to the environment which that person came up into. You have some people who are 70, 80 who live a very, you know, peaceful, quiet life in Jamaica, eating mango off the tree, having porridge, playing music, smoke a joint, you know, and live to. And then there's people who 35 and they're in the projects and it's rough. I'm like, man, are you 35? And so salute to him for picking up that guitar and giving the vision that would become the Jackson 5.
Yeah.
And which also, you know, gave birth to Malcolm. I mean, I'm sorry, Michael.
Yeah.
And, you know, really, really dope stuff. Can you name all the Jacksons?
Let's see. So it's Tito, Jermaine. Michael.
He wasn't one of the Jackson 5.
Who, Jermaine?
Tito. I mean, Jermaine.
No. So who's Jackson 5? I don't know.
Tito. Marlon.
That's the okay.
Michael, Randy. And Tito, Marlon, Randy, Michael. It was one more. And Jermaine was the one. Jackie. There you go.
Ah, okay.
Tito, Marlon, Michael, Randy, Jackie. Then there was Jermaine. Name the three sisters.
Janet.
Or two sisters, Rebe.
There's another one.
Is it another one?
Yeah, who's the other one? What's her name?
Come on.
Latoya? Latoya
Jackson. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. So that's our history lesson for the day. Shout out to the Jackson Empire.
Yeah.
That they
Thank
built.
You, guys. Chat, y'all were late. I got it already. Y'all were late.
Yeah.
It was a bunch of them. See, you know what's crazy? Now I'm starting to see people with multiple kids because, like, one is driving me crazy. Two, right. I'm a little nervous. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, all right, you know, I'm in the gym. This is really why I'm in the gym. You know what I'm saying?
And as you should be.
Nine kids.
But again, let's look like, at
can you blame dad for coming home and just and taking out his ass. Day?
Y'all better get this goddamn, you better learn them goddamn songs. Nine, I can't feed all you mother. Get you know in what there, saying? Michael. You better get your ass in there. Do it again.
Like, I get it.
Yeah, yeah. But remember, times were different. Back then, and I'm not being funny, but I'm just simply saying, you know, dad came home from a hard day's work. Mama had that gown on. That gown. All these women buying all this lingerie and all. Mama had that gown on.
Moo-moo.
And I'm going to go in and make it happen. And they didn't believe in abortions and all that back then. They had those kids. And so, yeah, that's what it was. Grandma was mean. You think these chicks out here is hoes? Shit. Grandma was putting that work in. And then would get all dignified on you. Girl, you need to act like a lady. Grandma, you got 14 kids. I'm still a lady. All 14, or 13 of them belong to Earl. And that one that, when Earl was away, we always look at that one child a little different. Yeah. You know what I mean? But she still was a lady. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. Yeah.
All right, let's get to some more stuff.
And hold on. And like Simone said, back in the days, you could leave your kids at home all day alone. Neighbors was looking out. All that kind of stuff. Yeah. The community looked out for the community. Right. They were Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah.
You are tuned into the sounds of Urban X.
All right. So Atlanta rapper Pee Wee Longway got caught with over $250 million in drugs and guns. My God. Him and I think 11 other people.
It's 100 people, bro.
It's 100 people?
It's 101 people in that indictment.
I'm thinking of, it's a Bronx indictment that's happening. Okay,
right,
so.
Right,
101 people. They got caught. So I'm going to break down. 155 guns. Almost 500 pounds of meth, 57 kilos of cocaine, $5 million, almost $5.7 million in street value, 7.1 kilos of fentanyl, that's 700,000, 55,000 pounds of marijuana, right? An illegal grown like marijuana, 1.3 kilos of heroin.
Ooh.
6 pounds of HGB. I don't know what that is.
That's and then it's not like a that's like horse tranquilizer, I think.
Goddamn. And then 755 grams of mushroom. They were
are
wild.
Going to Yale.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It is curtains. God damn. They was feeding.
The level of that kind of operation. And see, this is where the problem lies because, well, it's a real deep situation. When they make those kind of announcements, it does not deter young people. It encourages young people in a weird dynamic because they want their name to be legendary. That's a legendary takedown. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for you to say, for them to say you had street value of $300 million approximately of stuff. Yeah. Then how much did you already move if we caught you with that? And so that operation is crazy.
Think about how much the feds let them move, though. For them to...
Yes.
For them to, like, okay, you know what? This is the time. Because you know how the feds do it. They don't just come in when, you know, the thing is fresh. They come in after years of building a case on you, an ironclad case on you.
Yeah.
And then they come. For the fact that they had almost $300 million in drugs and guns, that means they were moving more than that.
And it also lends to, like you said, What involvement did the feds have? See, we
that
think
too.
They just be watching, because they do, some of them, mm-hmm. they have their informants. An organization that big is hard to keep informants out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Informants are a part of the ecosystem of how this works, because where else the feds are getting that kind of information from? These niggas ain't street savvy, right? So the very fiber of intel is the CI, confident informant community, right? Mm-hmm. Guys looking for lesser sentences, guys looking to get themselves out of a situation. And so that type of stuff take place. But then there's, we don't make the guns and we don't grow the crystals. We don't have no labs. So how is this stuff getting here for them to even, and remember, we're talking about they got caught with that. How long has the operation been going on, and how much stuff were they moving, or did they wait until they got them, like they was coming up? Like, this is the big come up, and now is the time we take them down. It's so many layers to this stuff. There's so many judges, politicians, police officers, informants, gang members, radio executives. This is a system in place, and a lot of people don't like to hear it, but it is, because there's no way this type of stuff can go on without there being people looking one way, coming through the borders, customs. Then it's got to be moved to the right people. Certain people got to be paid off. So it is a system, and their time was up.
Yeah, and then, so 100 people, right? In any organization, y'all seen the movies, it's always one dude to get caught for a speeding ticket or something, and the cops go, all right, well, you got drugs in the car. You could go down for 15, 20 years for this, or you could let us know where you got it. You could let us know where you was taking it. You know what I'm saying? And then that's their way in, because you can't control 100 different people. Like, I don't care how thorough it's you impossible. Think your team is. It's impossible.
It's impossible. And even if you have layers within your team of, multi-layers, they're very intricate in how they figure out that system.
And then Pee Wee Longway is the rapper, so he was probably the marketing, let's say, behind the drugs. Like, he was probably fronting some bread. He was probably at his shows letting stuff go. And I like Pee Wee Longway. He has his own style. I liked him. He was on Vlad, and Vlad kept trying to trip him up, and he wasn't answering nothing.
Well, the fact that he was on Vlad gave them all they needed. So sometimes you don't even have to answer the questions. Why is Vlad interviewing you?
Yeah. Right? Well, because he's a rapper. He got a little underground buzz.
Guys, let's stop. There are no more. These guys are rappers / human traffickers / drug distributors / credit card scammers / you name it. That's what it is now. The Silk Road, all of this stuff comes into play, because how else these rappers getting no money? They ain't doing shows like that. The streaming services killed hip hop. It killed the music industry. That whole thing is getting ready to collapse on itself now, because they sucked all the money, creativity, opportunity out of it. So the only way now to really maintain that lifestyle is they line you up, say a few rhymes. The rhymes give you ability to travel interstate. But while you're traveling interstate, this is what's going to be happening along the way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This is how you're going to make your money. You know what I'm saying? The dark net, the dark web, this, that, all of these things coming, private jets, because the Beatles and all of them, let me say this.
Allegedly.
Been doing that for years. All them Rolling Stone groups, that's how they was doing it. So it ain't nothing new. But time it trickles down to us is when they start, watching. And even the pilot on the private jet is informing the feds when you touch down. So it's a system in place now that, entails a lot of moving parts.
We spoke about Atlantic dropping about 50 rappers or 50 artists from their label. But yo, listen, you know, look at every historic like industry. It's some way to where like not like they can't keep up with like they can't keep up with the changes that is happening in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we talked about music, streaming, the movies, again, streaming, TV, again, streaming, things like that. Like everything, like they don't know how to, they even are having a difficult time with figuring out how to properly monetize, how to properly attach a number to streams and stuff like that. So that's it's really interesting to watch. This side note, this has nothing to do with music, but I was talking to my friends the other day and we were talking about how the NFL, they can't keep up with how fast or how fast players are evolving.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they changed up the you know, the kickoffs and stuff like that, but now kickers are way better. Like kickers are lining up for 65-yard field goals, and that was not a thing 15 years ago.
Right.
They just lining up and it's like regular. They can just do that now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Receivers, defensive players are way bigger and faster than they were when I was a kid watching. Like Warren Sapp, you know, he was the big fat dude in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got people like Aaron Donald, who is fast as hell, big as hell, and strong.
Yeah,
like the NFL, they're trying to change rules, but they can't keep up with how fast and how good these players are. NBA too, right?
Well,
so like it's weird watching all of that.
It's the evolution. We keep upgrading ourselves, especially melanated beings.
Yeah.
Right? And so you watch Steph Curry change the dynamics of basketball.
Right.
I don't have to go inside and get physical. The name of the game is to put the ball in the basket. And if I can do it from further away than you can, because remember, for every action, there's a reaction. There's a cause and effect. So
hold on, mom and dad, you give me a headache. Give me a headache. Wait, what you doing? What you doing? You give me a headache.
Okay, so not only is it the shot that he's taken, it's the space that he's created for other people to operate inside. And so those things are continuous to go on in the game. And I spoke about it. Soon there's going to be a 70-yard field goal kicker.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he does. His leg is so strong. And now teams are going to be like, all I got to do is get the midfield. And line up. And so they're constantly trying to find ways from an equipment standpoint, from rules, but we keep evolving, and their goal is to try to stay one or two paradigms ahead so that when we get there, we fall back into another box. I'm always talking about that. And even, but I think with the music industry, they screwed themselves with this streaming.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Because we went from cassettes and wax, and they went to CD. And then even original streaming with iTunes, you had to buy the whole album. So you still had to, or you had to spend 99 cents a song.
Yeah.
And I think at that point, everything was safe. The minute it went to streams that we can't equate, and then streams that I can't count.
Yeah.
I can't count that.
Yeah.
Let alone the music industry is run by the mob anyway. So when they told you they was printing 100,000 albums, they was printing 120,000 albums.
Mm.
Right? And, on the low and moving copies, all of this stuff is a hustle. You don't think where they make those Nike sneakers at, that when they turn the machines off for the night, that you don't pay somebody else to turn the same machines right back on and produce the same sneaker? Come on. Follow the money. And so now the music industry, the movie industry is collapsing on itself because all I need is two or three DSLR cameras and a set with AI, and I can create something magical.
Yeah.
You know?
And like, I forget what actor he was, but he was talking about how now the reason why you don't see any original movies, you only see IPs, like really famous IPs, reboots or remakes and stuff like that, or sequels, is because they can't bet you know, a budget on an original idea. Like we just
right.
We can't because the shelf life for it, like on in the movie theater, it doesn't, it's not that long. That's why you've seen movies that have come out and then like the next month they're coming to streaming. Again, right. That was not a thing. And they used to get paid off of physical media. Their physical media is leaving. If you go to Best Buy, there's no physical media anymore. You'd be surprised to see if you can't find a DVD or a Blu-ray. So now you even don't own the movies that you're downloading on internet because they take it.
Right.
Like I had a song on my phone that I just can't find anymore because they took it. Like I thought like
gone.
It's gone. Right. Yeah. They could do the same thing with movies now and TV shows now. So it's looking more and more like that thing, like you'll own nothing and be happy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
That's what it feels like more and more because again, we own nothing. We don't own the music, we don't own TV shows, we don't own movies, nothing. We just are consumers. But yeah, not even. You know what I'm saying? Not even the good kind.
Yeah, and what do we do now, Malcolm, with all of these artists with no jobs?
Right.
How does that flush into the streets and how do they maintain a lifestyle?
Right.
Right. Right. Them a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Shout outs to that homie Kwame, or whatever his name is, him. Right? And so, how? When you got that mortgage now, mm-hmm. how, when you've been walking around like you that dude or you that girl, and the money has dried up, this is what leads to $300 million worth of cocaine being found. How about that?
My.
Side note, I'm hearing Prince from the Supreme Team is either coming home or home.
So, like, what is the significance here in 2024?
Because 50 Cent is still on top of the game. Remember, 50 went to war with Supreme and then, you know what I mean? But now the young brother who 50 Cent rhymed about is coming home. These dudes just don't come home. Remember, if you do 25 years, the world outside stopped to you. Now, the world is going on. It's shit happening. Yeah. You know what I mean? I told you, a friend of mine, her uncle came home after doing a certain amount of years. This nigga still got peanut butter and jelly, like, on the windowsill. And that nigga on the floor looking out the bedroom with a mirror and shit down the hallway and shit. She like, nigga, you know you home now, right?
Yeah.
This nigga got a mirror looking down the hallway and shit. So it stops for them, right?
Yeah.
For us, it's kept going. So they come out still thinking I'm so-and-so who was moving so-and-so. And, you know, so we'll see. That's what happened to Supreme. Supreme came home and Irv Gotti and them, you know, ran right to him. And because of his status, you know, and he provided muscle for them, so to speak. And his whole goal was to go legit. The feds did not want him to go legit.
Yeah.
Right? Because they said, look, just sit at this desk. We're going to give you the money to put your movie out. And that's how we wash money. That's how they always wash money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so the feds came down. But the younger brother is home now or on the way home. So, you know, we'll see what that means.
All right. Okay.
You know?
You're listening to the sounds of Urban X.
All right. So going back to football, I don't know if you guys watched this, but Tua, the quarterback from the Dolphins, suffered another like devastating concussion the other day. And he ran headfirst into somebody's chest. Whose chest? DeMar Hamlin's chest.
Yes.
What are the chance. Now, who's DeMar Hamlin? DeMar Hamlin is the player who everybody thought died on the field from the Buffalo Bills.
Last year or 2 years ago?
I think that was two years ago. Yes. So that was 2 years ago. Remember, a player ran into his chest, and that's how he passed out or fainted on the thing. Had
and was on
heart
the floor for how long? A half hour?
Yeah. Right.
Long time.
So Tua, he's been suffering concussions since he damn near got in the league, like really bad concussions. to where his body kind of freezes up. And it looks really scary. Those two collided, and then he went down. So a lot of discussions are happening whether Tua has to retire. I think it's done. I think he has to.
Can we be honest?
Go ahead.
This football, this shit is violent, man.
Yes, it is.
It's a violent game. We love watching it, but it is violent, and it can take this one hit. I told you, every time you play this sport, and you play this sport very aggressively, you put that shit up in Pop Warner, and, you know, it was in a very aggressive approach that you took to the game. I enjoyed it, but I enjoyed it with apprehension because one hit, and you know what I mean? And so on a professional level, when everyone is colliding, and this is the computer.
Yeah.
Right? And so what the NFL is doing, or they're not doing, is telling you how many of them players actually have CTE.
Oh, they all do.
Including Walter Payton, who passed away, and they was able to sweep that up under the rug. They are now uncovering suicide letters that he wrote to his assistants and a whole bunch of stuff, who, when the game was over for him, there was nothing. If I'm not out there colliding and hitting heads, there is nothing. And so you're seeing, and again, we enjoy watching it, on the outside, but the lasting effects of this can be terminal, man. That guy from, Syracuse? Who became paralyzed. Guy in New York City a few years back. He's a spokesperson now. One play. I don't think it was Syracuse. It was, I forget where it was. One of the New York teams.
There was a high school player recently. On week one, he was a quarterback. First game, he died. He got hit. He had to get helicoptered out, and he died. This happened a couple weeks ago.
Tua is going to have to make serious decisions, you know?
Yeah.
And because then it becomes psychological, right? Mm-hmm. Every time you got the ball and people are running down on you, are you going to cringe? Or are you going to play this game at full speed, because that's the only way you can truly play it and let the chips fall where they may? So it's a tough situation.
These players are getting way bigger,
faster, stronger. Yeah,
faster, bro. Like I can't imagine having to tackle some of these dudes that are running full speed at you.
Yes, yes.
At 250 pounds,
and they running a 4.4.
And they running a 4. Come on, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Like there was a player on my high school team. His name was Karan Reed. He was a couple years older than me.
He went
one
pro,
of the biggest dudes I've ever seen. Huh?
Did he go pro?
Yeah. He played on a few teams. He played on the Lions. So this is what I'm saying. He was one of the biggest players I've ever seen in my life. Right? He played D tackle. He got drafted to the Lions. He stood next to Ndamukong Suh, and he looked tiny to him.
Yes.
So could you imagine? Like, could you imagine what it's like to get? And this, like, yeah.
Yeah.
So the game, again, it's going way faster than they can anticipate. So that's why games look a lot clunkier, because they can't get calls. That's why quarterback play is looking bad, because how fast things are going, they don't know how to make reads. There's a stat. Mm-hmm. 2019, 2 weeks into the season, there were 101 passing touchdowns that happened. Now 66. That's how poor the quarterback play is, and I think it's because of how fast everything is moving.
Yes, yes.
Me.
So we're going to wish him well. Yeah. In my opinion, is someone undersized to play that. He should. Yeah, he is undersized, Ant. But sometimes, like, Drew Brees was undersized.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson was undersized. So there are exceptions to that rule, but I do agree with you. He is a little undersized for that position with the size of linebackers coming now. It's tough. Yeah. You know?
We're going to take a quick commercial break. Don't go nowhere.
Yes. Right back. Quick commercial break. We shall return.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
To our podcast listeners, please rate and review this podcast for us because it helps our podcast grow and we need all the support we can get. We thank you for your continued support. Now, back to the number one father and son podcast.
And we are back.
Yeah.
Got a hat in the mix. What's up with you?
Oh, I just wanted to rock, you know, because it matched with my outfit a little bit.
Yes, it does.
You know, and I'm set up, cuz. Well, I can't say cuz. I'm setting the wrong thing. Right? Damn, I done already screwed up. You know I can't be a gangbanger. I'm coming up with my blood calls, my cuz. What's wrong with you, Nick?
Yeah, somebody's not supposed to be here.
One of these kids doesn't belong here. You know. Anyway, I just got worried that Mama Dot didn't exactly pull the plug just yet. So I'm whispering that out to the Shop Urban X crew. You still can get something real quick because she's been busy today, so she didn't actually pull the plug.
Oh, nice.
So the sale make is more still up
yes,
for the
day. ShopUrbanX.com. Also, I actually have no more free available spots on my calendar for the business audit, so that is done.
That's done.
However, we're coming close on show 500. We have some stuff coming. I'll say that.
Right. Nice. Thank you, Jay Nightmare, for sending Malcolm some money.
Oh, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
He sent you $31. He said, don't ever say he didn't send you nothing. And then I want to thank Mr. Darius, as always. Happy Solar Return, Malcolm.
Appreciate you. Thank you, guys. Yeah. Thank you, guys. Somebody said, you already kicked out the gang. That was funny.
I'm already kicked out. The minute I showed up saying cuz, they like, dude, you are out.
That's like page one.
Page one, of course.
Oh, man.
Yeah, let me take this off now because I'm really getting hot. These hats got that lining that, on the inside.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, so hit the button.
You are tuned into the sounds of Urban X.
So, big news. So, the other day, there was another would-be Trump assassination attempt in D.C. What was this at? Mar-a-Lago?
This was in Florida.
Yes, Mar-a-Lago, yes. So, they caught this guy. His name is, hold on, let me get his name. Ryan Ruth? Ross? Mm-hmm. And they said he was sticking the barrel of an AK-47 out in the bushes. And I believe he let some shots off as well. Apparently, the FBI said that he's been on their radar since 2009, of course, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I saw some of his online rhetoric stuff. So, and that goes to show that, shit, we all on some kind of radar.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it. You do something, they'll pull up your tweets, they'll pull up something. Because it's no way they can track everybody. So there has to be some type of triggers that you might say online, that you might, you know, type or something that immediately push you on a list.
Malcolm, we've been snitching on ourselves for the last 10 years.
Right.
All of us.
Yeah, right.
No matter what you into, this became the perfect
Intel device.
Mm-hmm.
Get on, especially the last couple of years with the podcast, because now we just sitting here and we going through a whole bunch of stuff on what we believe in, what we don't believe in. You know, you got to scramble that up, Malcolm. You don't know. You really don't know what the hell I'm into. You think you do.
Yeah.
You think you do.
Yeah.
Right? I figured this out a long time ago. This is one big game.
Yeah.
But you can pull up 1,001 sound bites from me and paint a picture and go, this nigga's crazy. Okay? Look at what he said. Look at what he did. Yeah. Look at what he said. He said this, that, and let something pop off. And it's a wrap.
Yeah.
Anybody who doesn't want to investigate anything further, understand the nuance, how to discern information, well, that's a lock and key. That black man was angry. That black man was crazy. Yeah. That black man was deranged.
So
glad we got him on the streets.
So after this all happened, there were, I think on ABC, they were like, you know, Democratic pundits, you know the ones, they were saying that this is Trump's fault for his rhetoric. He emboldened violence. And then somebody like, you know, put up a whole pitch thing of a hostage thing of Democrats just talking like crazy about like how they need to silence Trump, how they need to stop Trump, how they need to do this to Trump. Somebody just had a gaffe online and said, oh, that's why Trump needs to be shot, stop. And then she actually said it like.
Yeah, the Freudian slip.
The Freudian slip, yeah. So that's what you're seeing right now. But everybody thinks this is staged as a result of, you know, what happened in the debate. They think this is him trying to garner sympathy and garner support as a martyr. What do you think?
Anything is possible. A guy like that, whoever his name is, has been in play for the last 10 years, you know, spewing certain kind of rhetorics and this and that. And I'm seeing all these clips of some stuff he's saying. So it would not be hard to activate him in a situation to, again, the people are very slow. His people are like, yo, they trying to take our man down. This is a second attempt. You know what I mean? Let's hope the third time is not a charm and, you know, this and that. And so it could work. Or there could just be random people who just feel that they are protecting democracy. And this man is the boogeyman, and he cannot get in at any cost. So, you know, it could go either way. I don't believe any of it.
Yeah, me neither.
Any of
me neither. Like he, because even from the videos I've seen of him, he looked off his rocker already.
Yeah.
So that could be easy to kind of just, you know,
exactly
activate him, say a few words, activate him to do something stupid.
The archetype of his avatar is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Old white men, you know what I'm saying, who got AK-47s at home. Who you know, this country's going to the shits.
Yo,
and my job is to protect it.
Yo, guys, both Republicans and Democrats have extremists on both sides.
Yeah.
And the Trump presidency and the threat of another one has brought, has shined a light on the left-wing extremists. Like they are 100% out there, bro. Like they are 100% just as crazy as the ones on the right. So
yes,
that's what I've realized. I'm like, yo, these dudes are nuts.
Bonkers.
Like, seriously.
Bonkers.
Seriously nuts. So we'll see. We'll see what goes on. The election is about another month and a half.
Dude.
I see something stupid happening prior to.
Yes. Yes. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer with this. We're getting very, very close to perhaps the most monumental election in our lifetimes.
And we're not saying that as a go out and vote because every year this is the most consequential election of our generation and stuff like that. This, what you're seeing in society now, the way we are not thinking for ourselves, the way the social media algorithms are playing against us, the way everybody is so extreme with their choices, and the way You're not allowed to have a choice. You're not allowed to have a free thought without your peer, somebody who you love, or somebody who you care about is looking at you like, how could you?
Yes.
That is all coming to head at this moment. Like, it is crazy.
Yes.
Because I online, right? Because we'll get to the Jay-Z Super Bowl Kendrick thing. But yo, I'm just like, yo, the way two rappers broke everybody's brain, it's concerning to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really is. Like, the way you can't have a thought to yourself without having a tweet under you, this long dissertation about why this is that. I'm like, yo, which you're going to see this 10 times worse in the election, because there are people who don't care about Drake or Kendrick in the world.
Right.
Who care less, but there's way more people who are going to care about Trump or Kamala Harris. But it's about to get nasty.
And remember, these people are warring amongst themselves. You are just the collateral damage of a fight for power and greed and money and to keep things the way they were, right?
Yeah.
And so you just collateral damage. So I'm only speaking to those who are spiritual, who know that these outcomes have already been decided, at least in the physical sense.
Yeah.
But you have to be prepared for the psychic attacks that are coming down, the ELF frequencies, all of the things that you're going to start seeing in this short period of time between the next month and a half.
Yeah.
Something major could pop off to make you go, oh, no, this is the big one. This is the one. Just be prepared for it. That's all. That's all.
That's it. That is it. Speaking of, so Jill Stein, who is running for the Green Party, like third party independent, right? She was on the Breakfast Club and with Charlamagne and them, and then Angela Rye was there. I don't know why Angela Rye was there.
Yeah, yeah.
But she came out looking, and as people were tearing her a new one because she was being combative the entire time. Jill Stein, right, whatever, how you feel about politicians in general. I feel the same way about just all politicians in general.
Mm-hmm.
However, Jill Stein, she was saying no war, no genocide, you know, just real, just kind of things that
generic
Democrats,
stuff, yeah.
But things that Democrats are supposed to be for.
Mm-hmm.
And Angela Rye was acting like, you would have thought she was Trump up there.
Wow.
The way, if you see Angela Rye's face, she was scowling the entire time, mad as hell the entire time. And then people, so I talk about the bad part of what's going on in society. Mm-hmm. But what's beautiful is that everything is just being revealed. We're seeing that the black liberal, the black democratic elite, they're there to just pacify you. They're there to just shut you up, mm-hmm. to keep an agenda going. They're not there to make any change.
Right.
And you're seeing it just more and more, because we have just kind of proof now. Like, you said you would do this, you said you were there for that, but that's not what your candidate is for. So, but you're telling me to vote for that candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very black and white now. It's very just plain English now. Like, oh, you're not doing shit. Like, you're not just.
It's been plain English for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. But the noise is so loud now, Malcolm, that even those who try to ignore it, because a lot of people know, they just choose to delegate their lives to the people that they think are better suited to tell them what to do with their lives. People just want to go to work, come home, go on vacation, watch a game, drink a beer, and that's it. And let those of a more authoritarian position handle all of that stuff for them. But the noise is so loud now that your average person is going, yo, I've been busting my ass for 20 years and nothing here has changed. When Obama was in, nothing has changed. And now they are the ones beginning to question, all right, what are we doing here? And that's the beauty of it when we get to that point, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
You know?
I agree. And Dr. Butch, that's who was with Jill Stein as well.
Oh, on the Breakfast Club.
On the Breakfast Club, yes. Okay. It was yeah. People came out with just like, yo, what's up with like, and man, but she's always been like that if you paid attention.
Uh-huh.
She's really always been and then Charlamagne got really cozy with her. You know, he became that's my sister now. And yeah. She got exposed. And I thought it was, you know, 5 years too late, but we're here. Good job.
We're here.
Oh, side note, guys, I don't know if you, because I be on the white side of YouTube, right? So for the black side of YouTube, the scammers, they get exposed by JT the Pocket Watcher.
Yes.
Right? That's who they get exposed. JT the Pocket Watcher, Tony the Closer, Eli from What Happened to Common Sense. That's who exposes the black scammers. Now the white scammers, these dudes. Like, we think it's only scammers and fake gurus in our community, but the white side is nuts too. However, there's been a couple of times where our black scammers have gotten in the crosshairs of the white exposers.
Oh.
Okay? Right? So, Jay Morrison got caught up with this guy named Spencer Cornelius. He did a whole breakdown on Jay Morrison and got like a million views. And I felt like that was kind of the thing that kind of speed up Jay Morrison's downfall, in my opinion.
Okay.
Because he got like, it just got more exposure. Now, guys, Umar Johnson has been in, he has been called up to the podium by one of the white exposers.
Uh-oh.
Oh, shit. I was just like, oh, no. Spencer Cornelius, he did a video on Umar. And he talked about the 10-year school scam. That's what the video is titled. And people in the comments were funny because people go, oh, snap, you actually got to Umar. And he was breaking down videos. He's breaking down old clips, old interviews. You said this, I show. And the guy does real estate, too. So he goes, I pulled up tax filings. I couldn't see this. I couldn't see that. He might have uncovered some other scam that Umar might be pulling. Because he found out that the address, it's bad. This might be the reckoning,
Malcolm,
that I don't think Umar wanted. This might be it.
I love you, Malcolm. I do. Happy birthday to you. Just turned 31. You've been around a long time. Nothing can take down the King Kong of consciousness. Our people love these scammers more than they love themselves.
Yeah.
And hustlers and grifters, and it's just a part of the system, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
How many times can you just see it and go one, two, and three?
Yeah.
And people go, nah, son.
Yeah.
Y'all just trying to take down a black man who trying to help people, right? So we have created a level of cognitive dissonance that is so great that they have become impenetrable. Umar, him, that one. I ain't even gonna get into all the names because you know we don't do that here. Them, that crew, all of them.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to tell you knockers for years.
Yeah.
Let it go. No one's coming to save you. None of these people have your best interests in hand. And again, I'm a results kind of guy. I'm Virgo. So I like to see the results. And if I have 10 years worth of data on you, there's literally nothing you can tell me. Yeah. I done went through your whole file, your mannerisms, how you did this, how you did that. It's over. It's done. And that goes for religion, conscious community, this, that. I am a results-based individual. If I'm involved with something, I need results. At some point, if the results, and that's why I don't join forces with people. That's why you don't see me out as a part of the black elite. And I'm at the conference for black mobility and all that old shit that they be doing. Because I already know what this is about, right?
Yeah.
If you're not passionate, truth, and honest about what it is that you're doing, I don't want no parts of it, man. So if you got 10 years worth of data and you still ain't did something, bro, I'm good. Yeah. I'm good on that. That means even if you still trying, You need to reassess your life. If you a rapper who ain't got a deal and you've been rapping for 35 years, and every time I see you, you got a new demo, you ain't got nothing going on, son, it's time, man. Yeah. Let that go.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Move on. Now, if you got your own niche, you making your money, you traveling, and it's something you love, I get it. But I got dudes who still like, bam, bam, these niggas on the drum machine. Bam, 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 boom, boom, back. Yo, son, I'm saying, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let it go. Yeah, let it go. So.
Yeah. It just fascinates me when like one of our, somebody from our community gets.
But that's how big he is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's gotten to the point where it's spilled over.
I was just like, oh, snap.
But the system, listen, it's a perfect system. It's a perfect play. It's something that's off into the future.
Yeah.
That I will never reach as a goal, but I'm moving toward the goal. So all the space in between that is where the grift takes place. I show up in your city. I'm a black man. I'm a tall black man talking black PowerPoints that gets people emoted. I take some money, some donations. I might knock a little something down while I'm in that city. And I move on to the next city and I rewind the tape. You know what I'm saying? My game just rewinds, as Biggie says. You know what I'm saying? And so I go to the next city. I hit all the trigger points of good, powerful stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I love black people, kids, that. Send that collection around because the school is coming. I go to another city, and then I keep coming up with deadlines that I never reach.
Yeah, his last deadline was September 3rd, guys.
And it came and it went.
And right? People was in the chat like, Malcolm, what you going to do?
At what point do you go, damn, man, it's just... At what point? That's all.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
That's it. Real quick.
And he's a scammer, shout out too. He's a scammer. That nigga's definitely a scammer. And those dudes, grifters and scammers.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. I get it. I see. I'm picking up what you're putting down. Yes, and shout out to King Randall III. He's the one who has his... old boys school open. We spoke about him years ago, and we spoke about him recently.
Yes,
because of he kind of exposed what was going on with Umar as well. But
yes,
we definitely shouted him out. All right, I just wanted to make mention of that. Mm-hmm. Let's get to some more stuff.
You're listening to the sounds of Urban X.
So I want to get this story up. There were two retired FDNY chiefs, fire chiefs, who were arrested by the FBI for corruption.
Mm.
Right? Apparently, they were taking bribes, they were taking money. I want to get their names. Hold on. Let me get their names for you guys. Brian Cordesco from Staten Island and Anthony Scavino.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be that guy. Yeah, I don't want to be that guy, but, you know. Hey.
You're building this as a few, violations.
It could be a fire.
Just to say that, you know?
It could be a fire here.
It could be a fire in here, and no one would be around to expose of the smoke, eh? You know? Pay me or Scaliano here, and we'll take good care of you. We'll take good care of you. That's you know, we don't want no problem, you know? Got these moolies coming around trying to buy up the properties and all, you know.
Oh, my God. But this adds on to the pile of just mess that is on Eric Adams' lap when it comes to all the corruption that's going on in New York City, right? So his former aides, police chiefs both resigned after
his lawyer. His personal lawyer just retired yesterday.
Oh, yeah. He's just like, yeah, I can't. This is a mess. One of the aides to Governor Kathy Hochul was a damn Chinese spy.
Yes.
What is going on and how deep does this thing go, people?
Well, Malcolm, I'm going to say this. First of all, the fire department and the police department and the corrections office, those are all gangs. Go watch the movie Gangs of New York, right?
Yeah.
So they all formed to put themselves in position to, you know, unionize and become gangs. And I'm always saying what I always say, follow the money. It's too much money out here. And when you know that the whole system is corrupt and it's about how much money you can get out of it. My man opened up a club. It was a booty club. All right. It was a little booty bounce club, right?
Yeah.
But he opened it up, naive to all that mm-hmm. goes with it. And these police officers just kept showing up like, I'm giving you violations for this, that, and made him put cameras in his club so that they could see what was going on in the club. And then they was coming by to get their payment. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And my yep. man had a grand opening and a grand closing.
Yeah.
Right? Because he just didn't have the money to keep when the inspector come, food inspectors, you know, mm-hmm. they do it. You know, listen, you got a lot of, you know, violations here, man. Give me $2,500. That's what happened to the police commissioners. Has a twin brother who used to work for the police. Then he started his own security firm. And he was going by the clubs telling dudes, give me $2,500. I know people. I can make things go away. Violations. I can take care of your competition. And the black guy called the feds. And that's how this thing got started. And so that's why they're grabbing all the phones. And that's the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
Of what's been going on. Your man Adams has been a police officer for 40 years, son.
Mm-hmm.
He in and out of all kind of stuff, got his hands in pockets and this and that. The whole system is corrupt. So these two firefighters were just doing what they do. Police yeah. officers pull over a drug dealer. What do they do?
Yeah.
Right? Oh, you got $150,000? What's good? What we talking?
Yeah.
Right? This dude, he young. He 22. He pulling up in a Lamborghini with $150,000. You ain't seen no money like that your whole life as a police officer. Yeah. What you gonna do?
Yeah.
You wanna go to jail, or you know?
I think one of these dudes, one of the former fire chiefs was driving in a Lamborghini.
How's that possible?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's the police work and then there's the police work.
Yeah.
But damn if some dude, it's 24 years old, got $200,000 in the trunk of his car, straight cash that ain't never gonna be mixed or mm-hmm. you know, come on now, you know what it is. So this whole system is about money. And as long as there is an opportunity to make some money, there's going to be corruption. And that's in the court system, medical system, food system, clubs, you name it, wherever there's money to be made, there's somebody who has their hand out because everybody needs money. And that's yeah. why the ones who are in higher positions never really worry about nothing because they can always pay somebody off to either do something, take a fall, make something go away. Us poor people, we don't have the ends to play those games. And so we become the cannon fodder. We become the byproduct of a system that is just built on money. I'm always telling people, follow the money.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the police, there were four people shot, including a police officer, when two cops opened fire while running after somebody who didn't pay a fare.
Yeah. This dude, he hopped the train. It's $2.90. I guess he had a knife on him or something. The police officers were following him. A scuffle broke out. The officers shoot three people and shoot another officer for $2.90. Yeah, $2.90. And they had to admit that it was a friendly fire because nobody else was firing.
Yeah.
For $2.90.
Yep.
That's how bad this thing is getting in New York City and just, you know, all over the place. It's bad.
Yeah, I was just like, God damn.
Yeah.
I saw some of the video. I was like, come on, bro.
Now watch this. Really... The way the New York law is set up, they're going to charge the guy with the knife.
The guy with the knife, yep.
For attempted murder on a police officer's life, even though he didn't have no gun. I seen them do it before in New York City. Yep. If they get in a shootout and shoot one of their own because of you, and you didn't shoot them, you get charged with that.
Because they say, like, we wouldn't have had to do it unless you were the threat. So somehow, some way,
It's the way it goes.
That is the way it goes. All right, we're going to take another commercial break, and we'll be right back. Get your questions ready.
Are we ready for a commercial break, Mama Doc? All right, let's get it.
All right, cool. We'll be right back. Hey, what's up? Before we get back to the show, I want to ask a quick favor. Could you please rate and review this podcast? It'll really help the podcast grow, and we truly appreciate all you guys for taking the time out to listen to us. So let's get back to the show. And we are back.
Yes.
Thank you guys for joining us.
Continued support.
Absolutely. Join the membership, urbanx.nyc. We have the best membership on this YouTube platform thing, in these streets. We have the best.
We do. Not to join brag, but thing. It is what it is.
I'm brag.
Yep.
I'm brag. All right, so let's get to some more stuff.
Let's do it.
You are tuned into the sounds of Urban X.
So Rapper's Delight turns 45 today.
Wow. Rapper's Delight turns 45 years old today.
Wow.
Right? People think that's the first rap record. It's not. King Tim III had a record out a little bit earlier in the year, but it didn't do as big. And I remember, if memory serves me correct, there was a green and white label on that. But Rapper's Delight, because it used the music by Sheek, it was the most important rap record ever, in my humble opinion, because it started everything. Not hip-hop, right? Because we had a slew of hip-hop, but it showed the potential of where hip-hop could go. And if you know the story, Big Bank Hank, his verse was actually plagiarized by Grandmaster Caz of the Cold Crush Brothers, who's probably the first Ghost Rider in history. Huh?
It wasn't plagiarized by Kaz.
He plagiarized Kaz.
Yes.
I got that wrong. He took Kaz's rhyme, the C-A-S, the S-O, you know, the N-O, that spelled his whole name out, and did his whole rhyme because Sylvia Robinson was so intrigued by what hip-hop could be. But the record itself, see, sometimes these things happen, and they happen for a reason. Rapper's Delight played everywhere. I think it peaked at number 2 or number 3 on the Billboard charts. It was a phenomenal record that spread the gospel of hip-hop. And right after that, the doors opened, and then you had Curtis Blow, and you had this one, and Grandmaster Flash, and the Furious Five, and then all the records started coming out, Afrika Bambaataa, and this one. And so salute to Rapper's Delight. It was easy to remember. It was cool enough where even moms and pops were singing it because they knew the Chic bass line. And so kudos to the Sugar Hill Gang.
That's yes.
Yes.
All right. So in other news, Andrew Tate, he actually got arrested and charged again with trafficking. Now, I saw, like, I was watching some videos on it, and some of his most staunch supporters were even like, yo, I read some of the text messages, I read some of the report, and it's gross, and they can't even really defend it. Because the first time, it was kind of after he said, I'm a threat to the Matrix, I'm a threat to everything, they're going to try to arrest me for something. And I think that case was flimsy. So when he got out, it was just kind of like, oh, see, they are trying to arrest him. He is a threat to mainstream. He is a threat to the Matrix, all that stuff. Now, even his supporters are like, I can't really get behind this because he's wilding.
Here's my question, Malcolm.
Yes, sir.
Why, if you have that much dirt on yourself, would you make yourself so public? Is the question. So if, yeah. I'm just saying, if I was a PDF file,
mm-hmm.
don't you think I would keep the lowest profile? I wouldn't be on these platforms knowing that if anybody did a little digging or I tripped up, and I'm just asking a general question.
Yeah.
Like I don't get that philosophy.
Yeah, I think
of going people... against the government, but right in my own backyard, I'm doing something that I ain't supposed to be doing.
I've always thought about that too, because I'm thinking like, yo, like you gotta be stupid, like you gotta be dumb. But I think that ego, right? You think you are untouchable. You think you think like your dirt wasn't public yet. Like that didn't that was happening when I wasn't quote unquote Andrew Tate. Like I wasn't who I am now.
Gotcha.
So you can't. There's no way you'll find that. Or there's no way or the person that you violated, they off the face of the planet. So, you don't know. They're not going to get to her.
I get it. Because even P. Diddy's situation is different. Because all of that's under the guise of the music industry, of being a music mogul, Harvey Weinstein. So they were able to dress up so much of what they were doing under the guise of being executives. But he's just somebody talking shit about the government.
Yeah.
Right? And anybody who tells you I'm a threat to the government, they are no threat to the government. Let's just keep that. Anybody, whether they black, white, I don't care. I'm a threat. You are not a threat. Please stop. Please.
Yeah.
Right? You're not a threat. Especially anybody walking on on your two legs and who are on these social media. You are no... You're not even a threat to yourself. Go sit down somewhere.
Yeah. So, we'll see. We'll see what comes of this, because I'm just like I said. I saw some of his supporters, like Twitter pages, who are dedicated to just sharing his stuff. Is like, yeah, no.
Now, that doesn't mean that they won't set some honey traps for you.
Mm-hmm.
They do that just for fun. You know what I mean? So yeah, but you're not a threat.
Yeah.
Malcolm X was a threat.
Yeah.
Martin Luther King was a threat. You know what I mean? You're not a threat. You're not a threat.
Right.
What's up with Jay-Z these days?
Him and Michael Rubin, they opened up their Fanatic Sportsbook location. And I saw that at the ribbon cutting ceremony and things like that. And people are just kind of, they love Jay-Z.
Where was this at?
Where was it? I'm trying to get the exact location.
Because they did the Fanatics Expo at the
Jacob Javits Center, yeah.
Which I guess was a introduction to now these Fanatic, I guess they're going to be bars or sports bars that deal with gambling as well, yes?
Yes, because that's what Jay-Z is trying to get into.
Right.
These days, he's trying to get into the... gambling business. He's trying to get in casino gambling business. And I think owning a sports book, because he's collaborating with Michael Rubin, so owning a sports book is kind of like that next thing, right? Because streaming is tough, especially when you're competing with like Apple, you're competing with Spotify and stuff like that. So Tidal couldn't really compete. And then I think personally, he took the wrong approach when it came to overestimating his influence and overestimating how much people cared
back to ego. He thought his ego, like, people are just gonna come over and sign with me and we're gonna build this big conglomerate and stuff. Now Jay-Z is with Michael Rubin, and so he's with the usual suspects. All right. And how do you feel about that?
So, I think he's been overestimating his his relevance in the culture now. I think a lot of young people especially don't care. However, I think personally, I don't know when it's going to happen. His reckoning is going to come, and the music industry at large is not going to know how to handle it.
Well, I think he sees the writing on the wall too. Yeah.
Yes. Diddy and Jay-Z, they have been, Diddy, Jay-Z, and I say Dr. Dre, right? Mm-hmm. They have been the pillars in hip hop as to what you could strive for. You could be like them, right?
Right.
Jay-Z's from Brooklyn, Diddy's from Harlem, Dre is from Compton. Like, these are people you could strive to be like them, and it all came from music and stuff like that. So, but Diddy stepped on a lot of people along the way. So his downfall, a lot of people prayed for that. A lot of people, you know, were happy to see that.
Mm-hmm.
We've said on this show plenty of times, Jay-Z has done a lot in the last like 10 to 12 years to clean up his image, not to us essentially, but to the people around him, his peers. That's why,
mm-hmm.
like, even I know Wayne and everybody's mad at that, but even when he helped pay Wayne's like back taxes off and stuff like that, he helped get people out of contracts, people that were historically beefing with him. He kind of cleared that way. So when he's able to make these moves, like get with Michael Rubin, who was not of the culture, who tried to implant himself through Meek and stuff like that, who tried to teach you how to deal with, you know, black people within your community, you know,
the he audacity. Is not of the
but exactly, right? So when Jay-Z gets with him, you're not looking at him the wrong way. You're looking at Jay-Z as a business, as a conglomerate, like he can kind of do whatever he wants. So, or, you know, step outside the culture and it still be looked at as a win for the culture. Like, people look at Jay-Z's move with Fanatics as a win for hip hop. Like,
yeah,
he did this for us. You know, he's right. Kneeling for us.
Which he did it for him.
Right.
But it looks like he did it for you.
Right.
Yes?
Yes.
And Jay-Z is now trying to pivot himself as far away from the music as possible because he can see the writing on the wall. Now, they did a collaboration with Roc Nation and like this independent service so that they can now tap back into the soil, so to speak, of the people and create avenues so that he can continue to get money. But this sports betting, the marijuana stuff he was trying to get into, legalizing, some other things. He eventually wants to own a team. And so he's trying to put himself in a position where if music falls, he don't fall. And I mean, who are we to say whatever? Because obviously this is his mission and his journey. So in other Jay-Z news.
That's in New Jersey, by the way.
It's in New Jersey. Okay, well, it'll start in Jersey, and then they'll probably move a few along, you know. Yeah. Now, Jesse Collins, who is a Super Bowl producer of those shows, produced the Dr. Dre show with Eminem and them, said that, said that Jay-Z makes those decisions. So we went back and forth. Now people are trying to say Jay-Z try to put a spin on the narrative so that he wouldn't become the fall guy for not having Lil Wayne on the show by saying it went through this process. And Jesse Collins, who produces these shows all the time, just recently came out and said Jay-Z makes the decisions and he's been doing well at making those decisions. And so we're back and forth with, did he do it? Didn't he do it? Does it matter? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Somebody said Jay-Z don't owe Lil Wayne nothing. Yeah, I mean, listen,
Alissimo, what is he supposed to do, bro, expanding? Well, what's expanding?
Okay.
Oh, when you say expanding, see, you can't just say he's expanding, right? Because he can expand and take nobody with him and do nothing. And if that's his mission, kudos. But he is entrenched, or we feel he's a part of the culture. So is he expanding the culture? And I don't know the answer. I'm just asking. Or is he now a part of a team where
all of that stay true to your culture shit go out the window $700 million ago. This is about me getting my money up. And the people I'm going to be doing business with and looking at every day, none of them people look like him. None of them.
And as much as we get on Dame here, I think he had, I think he said something that a lot of people missed when he said Jay-Z is embarrassed to be a rapper.
Yes.
Think about next to Michael Rubin, think about all these people that he's around who've gotten their money some other way business-wise, right? They've gotten their way, like, being, you know, shrewd businessmen, however the hell. Right. He got his money being a rapper. So that...
Now,
and on a small level, sometimes I even feel the same way when I feel like somebody asks me, like, yo, you got a podcast? I'm going... Because I understand the how people look at podcasts, right?
Right.
So I go, yeah, and I got to explain, like, nah, we do all right. You know what I mean? But, like...
Right.
He's probably going through that on another level with different types of pressures. So I'll give him that.
Perspective.
Right.
From the bottom looking up, a rapper reaching those heights, that's great. From the top looking down, dude, you just a rapper.
Right.
Who can't even move the meter here at the type of money. You can't even come in our room. Right? You at the lowest level of the top, if that makes sense. Right? And so it's all about perspective. But I can see him being embarrassed by that because they don't take you seriously. Even if you made the money, they don't, you're a rapper, right? Or you're a dribbler, a ball player or something. Shut up and dribble. And so it is a matter of perspective and how people see it and things of that nature. But Jay-Z's a smart businessman.
Yeah.
You know he's going to have to position himself where you forget he was a rapper eventually. So if he gets into casinos and all of that other stuff, but it's lonely up there, homie. Right?
Like,
when nobody around you look like you, you got all this money, but your people ain't around you. Yeah. They didn't grow with you. You're not doing nothing for the so-called people you claim you came from. It gets a little lonely.
Like, Byron Allen was a comedian, stand-up comedian.
Yes.
You would never know.
You would never know.
You would never know.
Yep.
Right? So that's how he's going to, that's what you're going to see eventually for Jay-Z if it gets to that point.
Yep.
All right.
Side note, ESPN is being sued by FanDuel and, what's the other one?
DraftKings?
DraftKings for using NBA and sports players' likeliness without their permission. Okay, so on all of them ads, when you see all them NFL, NBA players, they don't have permission to use that. So from what I understand, they're being sued for that. You were wrong about the Jackson 5. Jermaine was in the original. Randy didn't come till later. He is actually... the baby boy he came after. Thank you. You are absolutely correct, boss.
Thank you.
You are absolutely correct.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you for the super chat
and for
the clarification.
ESPN, I don't think people realize how crazy that is for them to have their own sports betting platform.
That's an oxymoron in itself. Am I correct?
Yeah, it should be.
But we could bet on sports.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm good. Let's get to some questions.
Somebody asked a question. What talent does Elon Musk have? Yo, me and my boy was talking about this because Elon Musk has been trolling black people a lot lately, right? Mm. And it seems like he's trying to piss off his shareholders for Twitter.
Mm.
Right, like he's trying to get forced out somehow because the thing about like these really really famous like entrepreneurs, they'll have like one or two big wins and then a lot of failures after, but we're still hanging on to big wins. So Tesla was a big win, SpaceX was a big win.
Tesla.
He didn't start Tesla, right? And I don't understand how he makes money from SpaceX. I don't understand how that's a billion-dollar company. That's just me, right? But people just assume like he's just this super brilliant entrepreneur that whatever he does is innovative, is different. That's why Kanye pisses me off, because I feel like he's still skating on past victories.
Yes, yes.
Right? He's still skating off of Life of Pablo. You know what I mean? Like, he's still skating off of that. And everything he does now is this genius move. It's not, bro. Like, it's, we got to call it for what it is now. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. But listen.
Elon Musk, like, he's just throwing stuff at the wall. And
when you have money, Malcolm.
Yeah.
P. Diddy ain't never sat down at a drum machine a day in his life. He ain't never composed nothing. Now, I know the definition of a producer has gotten really broad, where I can be like, you sample that. You give me some drums.
Yeah.
You give me some rhymes. You give me some hooks. We're going to put it all together. I'm going to sit here like this.
And I'm going to see what sounds good.
I'm going to see what sounds good. And I'm the producer, right?
Yeah.
I'll get the credit. And so, Steve Jobs, you know, I need y'all to go do some shit. Yeah. And I'm going to present it and get all the credit for it. So I put Elon Musk in that. Now, Bezos at least got Amazon, right?
Yeah.
All right, so I'll give him credit for that.
It's $2 trillion company.
Yeah, it's a matter of what you could put your name on. And because Dr. Dre didn't produce all them beats either. He took credit for a lot of them beats.
Yeah,
he produced them all.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, you can say what you want to say. He didn't produce all them beats.
Yeah.
But you want the beat to sell or not?
Yeah.
You added the beat, I added a little. All right. Roll that shit out. That's a go.
And turn that one down.
Yeah, turn that one down a little bit. Turn that one up. That's a Dr. Dre beat.
Dr. Dre beat, yeah.
You know, so.
I said Timbaland, too? Yeah.
Speaking of Timbaland, look at the segue. The Notorious B.I.G. has made a collaboration with Timbaland to produce 2 pair of Timbaland shoes.
Wait. The producer Timbaland and Timbaland shoes?
No, Malcolm.
Oh, okay. I got confused.
B.I.G. These are the B.I.G.s right here.
Yeah. Okay.
All right? Okay. In commemorative of the Notorious B.I.G., they're releasing these Timberlands.
Okay.
Now, they look like the regular Timberlands to me, which means I can still get over with the Timberlands, baby. I can get 2 pair of those. They got a black pair. Get 2 pair of those. And I'll just put that little tape on it that say Biggie, and I'm good. Just you can't wear them in the rain.
Yo, so after the debate last week, right, Taylor Swift came out and said that, you know, she did her research and she's voting for Kamala Harris. Apparently, that turned more people off than it did.
To her.
To her and Kamala Harris.
Okay, yeah.
So it led to a bigger question of how big, again, we think these people's influence is, and we think it's actually kind of like overstated a little bit.
Yeah. I agree, because we're like, what do we care about Taylor Swift anyway, and her opinions? Shout out Keenan's son, who will be having a birthday tomorrow. All right.
Hold up. We might have some breaking news. Breaking news. Diddy has been arrested and taken into federal custody in New York City. All right.
But who's reporting that?
TMZ.
TMZ is reporting that P. Diddy has been arrested and taken into custody.
Yes, he's been taken into the FBI field office in Manhattan. He got arrested, people. It's going down.
Wow. Okay.
It's going down,
I actually thought it was going to take place on Friday, which was Friday the 13th, which was the day that Tupac died. So I actually thought it was going to take place there. Okay, Diddy's had his affairs in order a long time. And so we'll see where this goes from here. I'm not going to sit up here and applaud, but I mean, I'm at the point where, you know, you're going to have to face the consequences of your actions and let the system say otherwise.
Yep.
At this point, right? I know people who are going to be riding with him regardless. You know, that's called cognitive dissonance. Just because he's black and he was a celebrity that you are going to ride, let the system do what the system does. We are going to reach a point where if you not for me, you are against me. And just because you rap and you black does not mean that you are for the upliftment and, you know what I'm saying, uprising of black people. You should know that by now. Most of these rappers are government agents, government informants, or if they're not agents, they're assets to the government. By their behavior, their demeanor, the music they put out, the people they violated, how they suppress our people collectively. They sell us alcohol, they promote drugs, they promote violence, and we continue to support our own demise. And he may be the poster child of that behavior, of how they allow you to rise up to keep a whole bunch of other people down. It's basic math. You know what I mean? We will raise up a few individuals amongst them, give them credit, give them power, and give them influence. But the goal is always to keep the regular people, because if all of us rise up collectively, it's over. It's a wrap. And I always tell you this, they don't need control over millions. They need control over one who has influence over millions. And the same job is to get done. Diddy showed up 1992, 1993. He's had a 30-year run at this. You know what I mean? Yeah. And allegedly, there are bodies everywhere. They are crimes committed against women, children, allegedly.
Allegedly.
And so much more going on. But now it begins because he'll probably get bailed out. Mm-hmm. And then now the process begins because in his left hand is a whole bunch of stuff and leverage that he has kept for himself. So now Jay-Z needs to be worried. Mm. Now Ray J needs to be worried. Now a lot of these dudes need to be worried. You know?
All right. Yep. So, guys, with that being said.
Yes.
We're going to go out on that note. We'll see you guys on Thursday.
Yeah, Malcolm, we'll probably do a podcast.
Yes, we'll be popping in tomorrow.
More details come out tomorrow.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We'll be popping in. And don't forget to like, share, or subscribe. Visit shopurbanx.com while the sale is still active.
Yes.
It might be gone by the time you see this.
It will be.
Join the membership. Yeah, it will be. Join the membership, and we will see you guys next time. Peace.
Peace.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.